All right, everybody, welcome.
Wait a minute, stop. How long have you been recording?
After Easter. Just start rolling from when I said everybody, because this is how this always starts every week of us in complete chaos. And then I just say, hey, everybody,
I'm not
here
ready.
We go. You're ready now. The podcast is upon us.
Oh.
We're here.
Hello, podcast
People
audience.
People watching now, hey. So behave yourselves.
Watching now.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Take it away. It was Easter. Big week. My goodness, what a week. I stood out there and saw people coming in. I was on the porch for all five services, I think, and good gracious, I've never seen so many people descending upon this place at once. It was
descending.
Yeah, they weren't attacking. I was happy to be here.
I was on the porch. Where's the porch?
It's that thing out front is a porch.
That's a porch?
Well, the plans call that like a port cachere or something like that. Whoa. And we're not in
Who
France.
Calls it that?
On the architectural plans, they're always wanting to call it some sort of port cachere or something, like a French word. I'm revealing my ignorance of all that.
It is a front porch. So.
It's a front porch. And I was out on the front porch, and man, the people were coming in. We broke a record, and incredible number of folks here this weekend. And most importantly, 17 people came to Christ. That's a big deal about it all. And met lots of new friends, lots of new families. So, and celebrated the greatest thing in human history, Jesus rising from the dead.
That's right. And as you kind of started off your message with, if that didn't really happen, then none of this other stuff really matters if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead.
Our faith is dead. This whole thing is pointless. Paul said that. He said if he didn't rise from the dead, our hope's in vain. Our faith means nothing.
Love it.
But he did.
Good weekend. Yeah. We added a service in there as well. So we did one on Thursday, four on Sunday. And Matt and his team did a great job as well with worship and kind of setting up a really powerful service. And you hitting a home run with the message this weekend. Really good stuff. It was Bonnie in staff meeting today was actually talking about that obviously preaching on the resurrection, but I think her words were you took a different slant on the resurrection.
She said spin.
Spin.
It's a new spin,
right. Yeah,
on
a new
that
spin
resurrection.
On the resurrection.
She said that. I said, it's not a spin. That's just the truth. Yeah.
Just preaching
different
the
viewpoint
gospel.
Of it. I think there are times you've got to put yourself in the position of the people and where they are and what they're actually going through in the moment. And I always struggle with growing up. As I said, Mom read me the Bible story about Mary seeing Jesus and not knowing him. And I've never been able quite to comprehend why. And we kind of explored some of the reasons why. One lady told me after church, I had several people telling me really good things after service that I could have added in. And I said, why didn't you tell me this yesterday?
Because we didn't have time.
Exactly.
That's why.
One lady said, I've always thought that, she said, I've cried so much before that I couldn't really see well. Mm. And she thought maybe it was so many tears in her eyes, which goes along with what we said. Sometimes in our hurt, we don't recognize Jesus. Sometimes in our pain.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our failure, and sometimes we just don't understand what God's up to. We just don't know. We don't get it, and we can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, I think, that probably puzzles everybody, like this idea of, and I loved how you dove into, like, there's two angels in the tomb.
Okay.
At some point, when is this going to kick in, Mary? But the thing that you said that really stood out to me was this idea of she had just, the last time she saw Jesus, it was at crucifixion.
Yeah.
She had just gone through witnessing what is probably one of the most gruesome things people have ever witnessed.
Yeah.
That was her last picture of Jesus.
Yeah.
So for the brain to be able to comprehend, oh, here he is.
Yeah. I mean, if you saw someone and not even really look at them, but just they're not bleeding profusely and scarred to pieces and just disfigured, your mind would automatically assume that's not Jesus because I saw him literally beat to death almost Friday.
Hmm. You talked about a couple of things there that and you mentioned it just a moment ago, that prevent us from being able to recognize Jesus. One of those being that, you know, when we're hurt or when we're hurting, it's hard to recognize Jesus. And I think it's one of those things that people can certainly relate to, because we don't necessarily equate hurting and pain with following Christ. Like, I mean, I think it's really easy for our perception of that to be, hey, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be great. It's going to be filled with joy and love and peace and all this stuff that kind of encapsulates that. But when we're hurting, it's hard to be able to see oftentimes Jesus in the middle of our pain. We're so focused on the pain that it becomes difficult to see Jesus. And I think so many people can relate to that because so many people are experiencing pain in their own lives.
Sometimes you just hurt so bad that you can't see the light, you know, it's just so dark that you you can't hardly look up, you know. And Mary was in one of those situations. It was just, from a human standpoint, it was very, very hopeless. I mean, he did die.
Yeah.
He physically died. That's important, too, for the resurrection. He physically died. And in their mind, there's no real coming back from that.
Right.
Unless they just seen Lazarus right. resurrected, or not resurrected, resuscitated is a better word for him, because he died again.
Mm-hmm.
But they just seen him come out of the grave, but Jesus was there doing it. This time, Jesus died himself, and they weren't ready for that. They just were not ready for Jesus to die. So all their hopes have just crashed. And we hit moments in life, I don't know about y'all, but I can have these moments when I feel like the sky is falling, you know. Something can happen, and it doesn't have to be huge for me.
Right.
Something can happen that just shakes me up, and I can feel like, man, the sky's falling, and I just can't see past it. And I think that's where she was.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, you know, she returned to the tomb that day to, you know.
Twice, actually. Yeah. I think she'd been, I think her first journey out to the tomb would probably be somewhere around 5 a.m., you know.
Right.
And she looks in, the stone's rolled away, and then she sees that and runs to Peter and John. So she's going to the temple. She's going all the way back wherever they were in Jerusalem to find them, come all the way back. So she's making multiple trips. I also kind of doubt her and the other ladies there had slept very much. I kind of figure they were probably awake for about 2 days, too.
Right.
So they are... The whole bunch of them is just frazzled beyond belief.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of wild to think about how that whole thing plays out as well. You know, the idea of simply not getting it, simply not understanding what the moment was about, what was going on there. You had mentioned it even after Jesus had told them what was going to happen, and I often wonder about that as well. Just kind of in my own life. How many times that Jesus has promised that, hey, the journey may be a little bit rocky there, but it's going to be okay. And when I'm in the midst of that sky is falling moment, I'm questioning whether or not I'm going to make it through. I'm questioning whether or not that I'm actually going to see the other side of this. And I don't get it. I don't always understand what all's going on. And so it's hard to see Jesus in the midst of that as well.
Counselor taught me this. I don't remember the exact time, but she said when a moment of panic hits, you've got a certain amount of time to talk to yourself and say, I'm okay, and it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. When a panic hits, you got to have a little bit of self-talk to say, I'm okay, and it's going to be okay. And if you do that quickly upon those moments of panic, you invite God into that situation.
Yep.
You really do. And that's such a powerful thing, to just invite Jesus into situations. I was thinking, too, about, you know, we talked about how Jesus told them many times he was going to rise from the dead. There were a couple times he did tell them rather symbolically, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time in, I think it's in John 2, when it says he was cleansing the temple, you know. He went in there to Passover. He sees these people selling all this stuff and selling sacrificial doves mm-hmm. and oxen and sheep and all this sort of thing. And he makes a whip and drives them out of the temple. So the Jews start jumping on him and saying, you know, what sign are you going to give us? You're doing this. What sign are you going to show to us? And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a little
what is that
metaphor.
What does that mean?
There is a metaphor going there. And then they pop back and they say, yeah, it took 46 years to build this, and how are you going to rebuild it in 3 days? But here's what it says later on down there. It says, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said that to them. Mm-hmm. And it said that's the moment they believed the scriptures and the word Jesus had said. It's like after it happened, they tied back to all these things that he said, and they're like, oh, that's what he meant when he said he would rebuild the temple in 3 days. Now, there were very explicit statements, too, of Jesus saying, kill me and I'll rise again in 3 days, you know. But he did tie some symbolism there.
Sure.
And I think maybe they just got stuck in that and couldn't see. And I think it's important that we don't spiritualize everything God says as to some metaphor, but we realize that what God says he means. And I don't think they could grasp that Jesus was actually physically going to raise from the dead.
Well, I mean, when had they ever seen that before? I mean, you tell me that now. I mean, you know, if you tell me now, hey, this person's going to die, but in, you know, 3 days I'm going to bring him back to life, I'm trying to figure out the symbolic nature of that, because I'm not necessarily believing that that's really going to happen.
again, they'd seen Lazarus come out of the dead, but Jesus was standing there calling him out. Right. There's nobody calling him out in there. Yeah. The power of the Holy Spirit brings him out. He comes out. And that's nothing like that's ever happened.
Well, I think it's really easy for us to look and go, how did you guys not see this? He told you word for word what was going to happen. But, I mean, we believe that that happened. We believe that he said, I'll never leave or forsake you. And then we find ourselves in those moments of like, where are you at sometimes?
That's the truth.
And it's, I can get how they got to that place, especially in that moment of it feeling so dark and there's so much hurt. So just be able to go, where are you at? What's happening? Maybe he wasn't who I thought he was, you know?
For me, as the more years I have and the more experience I have, it gets easier for me to say, God's got this. It's going to be okay, because I've seen him do it so many times. Mm-hmm. And that's the value of experience with God, that you know he's going to come through. Mm-hmm. He will. But sometimes that is so hard to see.
Right.
And when you just don't get what he's doing, you've pictured things a certain way and he does them another way and you just don't get it. That is so hard. Because they had pictured Jesus, you know this, they pictured the Messiah as a political savior.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted the Messiah to come and throw off the Roman yoke that was upon them. You know, the Romans were dominating the Jews and the world at the time, and they felt like the Messiah was going to set them free from Romans, and he came to set them free from sin.
Yeah.
And to do that, he gave his life. So they had no idea the Messiah was going to die. In their minds, the Messiah, many of them anyway, the Messiah couldn't die. And so he doesn't deliver them politically. It's amazing, too, if you read the book of Acts, even after the resurrection, they ask him, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?
It's like, yeah.
It's like, they're still on that. It's like, hey, guys, you don't get it. And that's before the upper room and the power of the Holy Spirit that they experienced there. But we get locked into this is how God's going to do this. And, man, he does it a different way so often.
And you even touched on that a little bit, of like the different pictures of Jesus that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Just all these different, you know, political Jesus and just how we, and it's just kind of like, why are we putting those labels on him when he said, this is who I am, this is what I came to do?
Yeah, we talked about angry church Jesus, political crusader Jesus, and you could invent several others that are out there in the culture today that people think is Jesus. And we've got God's word to show us who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. We can read it. We also have the Holy Spirit to live through us who Jesus is.
Yeah, he told us who he was, but he also told us who we are as well. And, you know, Mary's in that moment. She turns around, thinks that he's the gardener. And then he calls her by name.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Calls her Mary, and everything changes in that moment. And, man, there is just something powerful about hearing God call you by name, hearing Jesus speak your name. And for Mary, that changed everything. All of a sudden, it was, boom, I recognize who you are. And, man, we talk about, you know, all the time about how names are so powerful, and being called by the right name. And you mentioned this as well about, you know, don't try to find yourself. Let Jesus tell you who you are. Don't accept somebody else's label. Don't accept your own label on yourself. But, man, listen to who Jesus calls you, the name that he gives you. And we talk about that all the time. But, man, just something so powerful as something as simple as being called by your real name, by who you really are.
One of the biggest questions, one of the biggest things that determines your life, I think, is where you get your identity from.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get that from? You know, when you grow up, you know, you're going, I think in elementary school, everybody's kind of on the same level. You're just figuring out school and figuring out life. You start progressing through middle school and people start grouping off, you know, and you start trying to find your group or your place, you know. Are you going to be the academic? Are you going to be the sports kid? Are you going to be this or that? That's what it was when I was a kid anyway. Are you going to be this or that? There are many more groups. People tend to find their identity in the group of people they hang out with. Well, I'm this or I'm that. People can find identity through culture. They can find it through all kind of places. The real place to find your identity from is your Creator. That's when you're really going to find out who you were made to be. And we believe that's Jesus Christ, that he created all things and everybody. And the best way to find out what you are made to be and who you are is in him.
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks her name, she recognizes it, and
that changed everything.
End of the story. Well, beginning of a new story. But we touched on this as well, that we have to come to that place when Jesus calls our name. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that salvation is just a choice someone makes one day. We believe that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, calls them and they come to Him. And we know 17 people heard that this week, which was really good.
So, great weekend.
Yeah, it was good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you both so much.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
All right.